May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 132. 132. A friend there is, your voices join, ye saints, to praise his name, whose truth and kindness are divine, whose love's a constant flame. Hymn 132.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Holy Word of God in the Gospel according to John and chapter 11. John's Gospel, chapter 11, and we'll read down to verse 46. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. But nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. Jews therefore which were with her in the house and comforted her, that when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees, and told them what things Jesus had done. May the Lord bless the reading of his own precious word, and grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Almighty, most merciful and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we bow before thy glorious majesty. We desire that thou wouldst grant unto us this day a spirit of true worship, that we may lay hold of that hope that is set before us in the gospel, that hope that we have read of. I am the resurrection and the life. Lord Jesus, we pray that we may have clear views of thy glorious person as we gather together in the sanctuary today. We pray for the power of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, we look to thee. Raise the dead, the captive free. From the mighty take the prey. Teach the weak to wash and pray. Gracious God, do bless us then this day. May we feel the divine drawings of our eternal Father, drawing us unto his best beloved and all glorious Son, that I may know him in the power. And Lord, that is what we desire, the power of the resurrection. We pray, dear Lord, that thou wouldst make us more spiritually minded, that thou wouldst set our affections on things above. Draw my soul to thee, my Lord. Let me love thy precious word. We do humbly beseech thee. Oh, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit may rest and abide upon us today, we do humbly beseech thee. And Lord, we meet together under a cloud. Thou hast visited thy garden here. Thou hast plucked a precious lily and taken that lily to glory. And we do thank thee for the life and witness of Lydia Baker. And we do pray, most gracious Lord, that thou was blessed, dear Benji, and each one of the family at this sad time of great loss. Put the arms of thine everlasting love around them and grant thy gracious support, thy sustaining mercy, both now and in the coming days. We do beseech thee for thy great name's sake. May they each be enabled to look unto Jesus, to cast all their care upon him. We do humbly pray thee for thy great name's sake. We do lovingly commend them to thee and to the word of thy grace, which is able to build them up and to grant them an inheritance among them that are sanctified. We pray that thou wouldst bless this church and this congregation. Remember our brethren, the deacons, and give them needed grace, wisdom and help in all their responsibilities. Undertake for them. We do humbly pray thee. We pray for each of our brethren and sisters in Christ in church fellowship, that thou wouldst graciously unite them each together in the sacred bonds of Christian love. Help us to bear each other's burdens, thereby fulfilling the law of Christ. Help us to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Grant us the spirit and mind of Christ. We do humbly beseech thee. We feel, O Lord, our shortcomings, our heart wanderings, our backsliding. We pray that thou wouldst come this day with thy restoring mercy. We do beseech of thee. We pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst bless the whole of this congregation. Bless, Lord, the little ones and the children as they're brought into the sanctuary. Bless them with the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. As said in thy word, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. We love to see them in the sanctuary and hear them in the sanctuary. O Lord, do bless them. Grant that there may be a generation that shall be raised up to call thee the Redeemer blessed. We pray for the young friends upon the threshold of life's journey. But we pray that thou wouldst grant them living, vital, saving faith in Jesus Christ, that they may become true followers of thee and of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises, that thou wouldst graciously grant that there may be a generation raised up here to continue this cause of truth. But we pray, dear Lord, that thou wouldst be with the young friends in life's journey, all their concerns. Guide and direct them and help them in their education. Guide them to suitable employment. Grant them a partner in life's journey. We do humbly pray thee. Help them to look to thee and to cleave to thee and to follow thee for thy great name's sake. We pray for the prodigals that have wandered away, that thy mighty arm may be made bare, that thou wouldst cause them to be in want and cause them to return. There is nothing too hard for thee, O Lord God of heaven and earth. With heaven and earth at thy command, he waits to answer prayer. Help us to continually be in prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Lord, enable us so to do, we do humbly beseech of thee. We pray, most gracious Lord, that thou would be with each and every one in the midst of the journey of life, bearing the heat and the burden of the day. Undertake for them. Deal with us, Lord. Bring us into closer union and communion with thee, that our heart and our affections may be set upon things above and not on things of the earth, that we may seek first the kingdom of heaven and thy righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Lord, we do pray that thou in thy precious mercy would deliver us from the temptations of the wicked one, whether he comes as an angel of light to deceive us, or whether he comes as a roaring lion to devour us. Lord, we need that grace given from heaven to defend us. Thou hast promised in thy word that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. May that glorious standard be lifted up today. May the Lord Jesus Christ be exalted as a Prince and as a Saviour, for to give faith and repentance and remission of sins. Lord, be with and undertake for those of us in the evening time of life's journey. We pray, most gracious Lord, for a gracious preparation, that we may be prepared. Oh, do hear us, Lord. We do pray thee. We pray that the glory, light and power of the gospel may shine into this village, and that thou wouldst send out thy light and thy truth, gather in precious souls, pull down the strongholds of Satan, set up the kingdom of the Lord Jesus in the hearts of sinners. We pray that thou wouldst be with thy servants as they come in and out among this people, that they may dip their foot in oil and be made acceptable unto the brethren, that the word preached may be in power in the Holy Ghost and with much assurance. And that we pray, dear Lord, that thou wouldst graciously fulfil thy promises. I will bring thy sons from far and thy daughters from the ends of the earth, and they shall come from the north and from the south, from the east and from the west. O Lord of hosts, let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, the Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. Gracious God, we do pray that thou wouldst remember all of thy servants as they labour in word and doctrine upon the walls of Zion today, and that thou wouldst grant them that fresh anointing of thy Spirit. We pray that this people may be granted from thee a living ministry, one of thy servants to come in and out among them, to feed them with knowledge and with understanding. We do humbly pray thee. We pray, dear Lord, that thou in thy great mercy wouldst remember our nation at this time. We live in, Lord, days of great evil and great wickedness. Give wisdom to our leaders, guidance and direction in all matters, especially at this time of crisis. And help us to continually pray for those in authority over us, that we may live a quiet and a peaceable life. Bless our beloved Queen and the royal household. Bless them with that rich grace that is in Christ Jesus. We do humbly beseech of thee. We pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst bless those that labour from among us in other nations of the earth. We would remember the Mombasa mission and pray that thou wouldst help thy servants there and grant good success. Remember, O Lord God, Ian Sadler as he labours in Pakistan and India and Burma and Africa. Lord, gird him with all sufficient grace and supply all his many returning needs. We do humbly beseech thee. We pray for that good work being done by the Savannah Education Trust in Ghana. Lord, bless their endeavours to the great glory of thy name. We do humbly beseech of thee. We thank thee for thy holy day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. We thank thee, O Lord, that thy mercies to us are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. We thank thee for thy word. This is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Oh, we're thankful, Lord, for the wonderful revelation of Jesus Christ, the eternal word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, that we may behold his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We thank thee, most gracious Lord, for the holy life he lived as a man here upon earth. We thank thee for the holy law he fulfilled on the behalf of his people, bringing in everlasting righteousness. We thank thee for the sacred sacrifice of Calvary, where sin has been put away, where God and sinners are reconciled, where peace is made betwixt God and man. Oh, we thank thee for a Saviour that died for our sins and rose again for our justification and has now bodily ascended into heaven. We have a great high priest who is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. We do bless thee, O Lord, for the glory of his name and the wonder of his grace. We pray for all in any trouble or trial or perplexity or sorrow, sadness, bereavement. Lord, whatever that trial may be, afflictions, think of one's dear wife at home, lovingly commend her to thee and to the word of thy grace. Gracious God, hear our prayers. Be gracious unto us. Make up in giving where we do so fail in asking. Come and touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 925. Peace by his cross as Jesus made, the church's everlasting head, o'er hell and sin has victory won, and with a shout to glory gone. Hymn 925.
Thank you.
greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your attention to the chapter that we read, the 11th chapter in John's Gospel, and we'll read for our text verse 35. John's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 35. Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible, which actually very beautifully displays to us the reality of the true human nature that the Son of God assumed in the womb of the Virgin Mary, becoming bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. We read that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And gathering with these that had lost their loved one, his heart was moved. And it shows us the sacred reality of his human nature. He was moved with compassion. He was moved with love. He was moved with sympathy. One of the hymn writers, he puts it in that way, doesn't he? Touched with the sympathy within. He knows our feeble frame. He knows what sore temptations mean, for he has felt the same. And we pray that it would be a comfort to those of you that mourn today to realise this, that the Lord Jesus Christ has a kind, a loving, a sympathetic heart. He knew when he was here upon earth what it was to weep in loving sympathy with those that mourned their loved ones. But the Apostle Paul, in his epistle to the Hebrews, he speaks very beautifully of the sacred person of our Lord Jesus Christ in the second chapter. And he says there in verse 17, "Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren." We have a need, my beloved friends, in the day in which we live, that these things should be emphasised, because there are those that deny the true human nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. They object to the term human nature in relation to Jesus Christ. And they do not believe that he had a true human nature. They do not believe he was a real man. And yet the scriptures teach us very, very clearly that he was a true man. And in this text that we have, we see his humanity, his love, his kindness, his sympathy to those that were mourning. "Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of his people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted." He feels the pains of his people. In all their afflictions, he was afflicted. He knows what these things mean to his people, because he was a real man, a true man. He is equally the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. "From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." Expressed by the apostle again in the Hebrews, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. That's eternally the same. That's yesterday eternal, and that is future eternal, and past, present, and future. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. I am he which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my beloved friends, we do not see two persons in Jesus Christ. We see two natures. There's the divine nature and there's the human nature. The human nature, and this is a fundamental doctrine, you might say you're getting technical, it's a fundamental doctrine. That human nature that the Son of God assumed never ever had any existence separate to his divine nature. When the Holy Ghost overshadowed the womb of the Virgin, the Son of God immediately assumed that human nature in the womb of the Virgin. It never had any separate existence to the Son of God. The Son of God assumed that, so we have one person, the Son of God, assuming human nature. Now, according to Holy Scripture, human nature, it's defined in the book of Genesis. How that God made out of the dust of the ground, he formed the physical body of man from the dust of the earth. And then we read this. And God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That is the definition in Holy Scripture of what human nature is. Man became a living soul. He has a physical body, and then he has a spiritual soul which animates his body. The body without the soul is dead, being alone. And it's the soul put into man by God that animates his body. And when that soul departs from the body dies. That is what death is. When the soul departs from the body. And that is what human nature is. And that is what the Son of God assumed in the womb of the Virgin Mary, made in all points like as we are, yet without sin. What a sacred, precious truth it is. I can honestly say it's something that my soul rejoices in, the sacred person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, the eternal Son of the eternal Father. Everything that he did on the behalf of his people when he lived here upon earth, it's the Son of God that accomplished that salvation. You know, in the sacrifices and offerings of the Old Testament, it's clearly displayed how that you have an altar and you have a sacrifice on the altar. Now, it's Christ that is typified and represented. The altar represents the divine nature of the Son of God. The sacrifice on the altar represents the human nature of the Son of God. He offered his perfect, holy human nature upon the altar of his divinity. That's what it means. There are several places in scriptures when he says he offered himself. He offered himself upon the altar of his divinity, being the eternal Son of the eternal Father. And in that sacrifice, the whole church is redeemed and delivered from sin. And all the worth, the merit within that sacrifice is in this. He's the infinite, almighty, eternal Son of God. And that gives that precious sacrifice all its worth. The blood of Christ. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, his precious blood, his pure, his holy blood. What is that name that speaks for me in heaven's high courts above and from the curse has set me free? 'Tis Jesus' precious blood, that precious blood of Christ, of Jesus, the Son of God, There's power in the blood of Christ because he is the Son of God. It's almighty power. It cleanses from all sin. You see, the same with that everlasting and glorious robe of his righteousness. What is the righteousness of Christ? When we speak of the righteousness of Christ, what is it? Do we understand what it is? It literally is the perfect, holy obedience of Jesus Christ to the law of God. The apostle puts it in the Galatians, he was made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them that are under the law. And under the law, we are instructed in Holy Scripture, the law was made for man. Christ was made under the law. He became a true man. And he lived upon this earth under that holy law. He said himself, I come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And that is what he has done for his people. You can't fulfill it. I can't fulfill it. No man upon this earth can fulfill it and ever has fulfilled it. But this man, the holy God-man, the man Christ Jesus, he has fulfilled it. He has honoured it. We read in Isaiah 42, he will magnify the law and make it honourable. That's what Christ has done. You can't, I can't. You might say, why can't we? Why has God made a law that we can't keep? Adam, he could have kept it, but he fell into sin. The hymn writer puts it in a nutshell. You see, indeed, in Romans we read, as in Adam all die. Because Adam sinned. Adam is the federal head of the human race, and we all sinned in him. He ruined all of his posterity. Since Adam by transgression fell. See, he ruined all his future race. The seeds of evil once brought in increased and filled the world with sin. Oh, you sin because you're a sinner. It's natural to us. We're born in sin. We're shapen in iniquity. Because of Adam's fall. Now there's the second Adam. As the apostle puts it in the Corinthians, the Lord from heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ. When he became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. Just as Adam is the federal head of the human race, Christ is the great king and head of the church. And what he did as a man here upon earth, he did for his church, to redeem his church. To deliver them from the condemning sentence of the law. That's why he suffered and bled and died. The law declares the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Jesus Christ did no sin. Neither was any guile found in his mouth. He was perfect, pure, spotless, undefiled, separate from sinners. That's Jesus Christ. He did no sin. So the wages of sin is death. But he did no sin. So you may say to me, why did he die? He did so voluntarily. He did so because he voluntarily suffered and bled and died for the sins of his people, which his eternal Father had literally taken from off the church and laid it on his son. He laid upon him the iniquity of us all. That's why Jesus suffered and bled and died. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Salvation is of the Lord, says Jonah. Jonah proved it. It's entirely of the Lord. It's entirely of the free grace of God. It's entirely in Jesus Christ. Upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why cannot the gates of hell prevail against this eternal rock of ages? Because of who he is, the eternal Son of the eternal Father. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Satan cannot prevail against Christ. He's the Almighty. He'll try, and he tries against his church, and he tries against his people to overthrow them. Whether he comes as an angel of light to deceive us, or whether he comes as a roaring lion to devour us. You see, we read that word of promise in Isaiah. When? Notice that. Some of these little words are very important. When the enemy comes in like a flood. Not if he comes in. When the enemy comes in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost, will lift up a standard against him. That standard is Christ. He'll lift up the standard against it. The Lord has given a banner to them that fear him. That banner is Christ. Moses in the wilderness, when they came to fight against the Amalekites, and we read that he built an altar there, and he called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner. It's Christ. That's who we're speaking of there. Christ is the banner of his people. Christ is the redeemer of his people. Christ is the deliverer of his people. I will deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 also. But let us come more closely now to the text. As we were driving up here this morning, I was thinking of the word that I had on my mind, and it seemed to come quite forcibly, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Because in my mind, I'd gone through the chapter and I was thinking I could speak on this, I could speak on that. But you know, that came forcibly to me, that in all things he, Christ, might have the preeminence. That we might give the honour, the glory to his holy name. That he might have the preeminence in not only the things that we speak, but the things that we say, but the things that we do, that in all things. How much preeminence does Christ have in each one of our lives? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and my righteousness, and all these things, that's all providential things, shall be added unto you. But first, do we put Christ first? Do we seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and then depend upon the Lord to add all these providential things to us? To trust him. To trust him. Now, we have here in this family that was in Bethany a very highly favoured family. It says in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved that house in Bethany. And he obviously frequented that house at Bethany. And we are told who the Mary was. Some people get very mixed up ideas that she was this one, that one. But you look at verse 2, it's very clear who Mary is. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And they loved the Lord Jesus Christ. The old Puritans, almost to a man, will declare that this Mary was a notorious woman. We read that out of whom the Lord cast 7 devils. She loved much. She was forgiven much. So the Lord Jesus, when he heard that Lazarus was dead, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." It's wonderful. This is one of the last and the greatest of the miracles that Christ performed, when he raised Lazarus from the dead. But when I was in Israel in, I think, 1993, and the Israeli guide, when we were at the Garden Tomb, pointed out that there was a little window, and pointed out in all the graves that were on the hillside, there was little windows in each one of those tombs. And she said, because the Jews did not believe that the soul departed from the body until 4 days after death. So they used to put a little window in the tomb so the soul could depart and go to glory. Of course, that is a superstitious belief. But Jesus knew they believed that. And so he didn't go to Lazarus for 4 days. And as a clear proof to the Jews that he raised him from the dead, they would have said, "Oh, well, he wasn't dead." So he left him for 4 days. You see, the Lord Jesus, he does all things well. He does all things right. Sometimes, you know, friends, we can't always see it. He's too wise to err, too good to be unkind. Sometimes we get very tried, but you know, friends, it is true. He is too wise to err. He is too good to be unkind. He's a gracious God, and he knows what is needful and necessary for each one of us. Nothing comes by chance. It's all divinely ordered and purposed by God. But what a wonderful miracle, but what wonderful love. He shows forth his sympathy. Jesus wept. He shows forth his power as the Son of God. "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot in grave clothes. "Loose him and let him go." I was thinking of this, the Lord Jesus speaking of Lazarus. But in the 5th chapter of John's Gospel, we read there the Lord Jesus in his teachings from verse 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." We believe that concerning our dear departed sister, that she is now in glory. She's gone to be forever with the Lord. Because the verse that we have read was true of her. We heard her testimony. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so he hath given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice," the voice of Christ, "and shall come forth." My dear beloved friends, when you die, as the apostle writing in the Hebrews, it's as it is appointed unto man once to die, so after death, the judgment. The voice of Christ will raise all those that are dead and shall come forth. You will rise from your grave. But just listen to what Christ says here. And shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. In that great day, we shall hear the voice of the Son of God. We shall be raised from the dead. You know, Christ here, he spoke of Lazarus as sleeping. And there are several places in the Word of God where those that die in Christ, and that's the vital thing, those that die in Christ are asleep. They are going to be raised from the grave. They are buried in sweet hope of eternal life. I buried an aunt of mine at Black Boys many years ago now, a dear woman. She never made a profession of faith, but she was a most gracious, godly woman. And at her grave, the verse of that hymn came so sweetly to me as we stood by the grave. The grave is but a downy bed that's lined with love and blood. You know, friends, I could have got in that grave. The blood of Christ was there. There's the hope of eternal life. And surely this is central to the teachings of the Word of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, peace by his cross as Jesus made the church's ever living head. He's made peace. Just think of those words that the apostle speaks in the first epistle to the Thessalonians in chapter 4. And we read from verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." And our dear sister Lydia is now asleep. And she will hear the voice of the Son of God in that great day and rise to eternal life. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Important point there, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Well, in Matthew 24, Christ speaks of his second coming. And the very first thing that he does in his second coming, he will send his angels to the four corners of the earth to gather his elect together. That's the first act of Jesus Christ when he comes again without sin unto salvation. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Christ himself said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And how we need the Lord to come to us. How we need the Lord to visit us. I remember when my father's funeral, and we sung that lovely hymn. It was one of his favourite hymns, "Abide with me, fast comes the eventide." And you know, friends, I wept, but it wasn't sorrow. I wept with such a sweet sense he'd gone to be with Christ, which is far better. And my heart was filled with love to the Lord. He'd taken him from tribulation's pathway to eternal glory and everlasting happiness. It's very sweet then when these things are so. But it's not wrong to weep. Even our Lord Jesus was weeping. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have ye laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold, how he loved him." You know, the Pharisees, after the raising of Lazarus, it was only just before Christ was to suffer. After the raising of Lazarus from the dead, they sought to destroy Lazarus because they said the whole world had gone after him. This wonderful miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead, and the whole world has gone after him. See, and then this glorious voice of the Son of God that we've just spoken of in the fifth chapter of John, that glorious voice. One hymn writer says, "The voice that rolls the stars along speaks all the promises. Those eternal promises which are yea and amen in Christ Jesus." You know, my beloved friends, everything is in Christ Jesus. He's the source and the substance and the foundation of all our hope. It's in Christ Jesus. And it's secure there. He's the eternal rock of ages. He is able to do abundantly more than we can even ask or think. Christ is. Consider who he is. The apostle, he says about Melchizedek, consider how great this man was. Oh, can we not say the same, even more so, of our Lord Jesus Christ? Consider how great this man was. The eternal Son of the eternal Father. He lived here as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He suffered, he bled, he died for the sins of his people. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's very pointed, friends. You never read in Scripture of Christ laughing. Not at all. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to laugh. It's a natural human thing, but you never read Christ laughed. Our Lord Jesus Christ, having suffered and bled and died, has bodily, apart from rising from the dead, again, a wonderful thing. There's the evidence of our salvation. You might say, what do you mean? There's the evidence of our salvation. The sins and iniquities of the church were laid on Christ, every one of them, by our eternal Father. He literally lifted them off of the church and laid them on his only begotten Son that was manifest in the flesh. That is called the doctrine of imputation. He imputed the sin of the church to his blessed, holy, only begotten Son, manifest in the flesh. He laid upon him the iniquity of us all, that it was just as if it was his sin. It was made his sin. It says in Corinthians, he was made sin for us. The sin of the church was imputed to Christ. And the perfect obedience of Christ is imputed to the church. That perfect obedience of Christ, it's imputed, it's given to the church. What an exchange. What an amazing exchange. What amazing grace. Our sins became his. His perfect obedience became ours. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, Yet now I see the amazing grace of God. You know, when Christ is revealed to a poor sinner, it's an amazing time. When your darkness turns to light, when your bondage in some measure turns to liberty, when Christ is revealed, the resurrection and the life. And the evidence that our sins are all put away is in a risen Saviour. If one sin, it's we have to be very careful speaking hypothetically, but sometimes it illustrates the point. If one sin of the church was not redeemed, Christ would have never risen from the grave. The fact that he is risen from the grave is because he has paid the redemption price. He was raised again for our justification. I think it's old Mr. Wood that used to say concerning justification, just as if I had not sinned. What a simple way of putting it. How true. Just as if I had not sinned. Why? Because your sins were laid on Christ. Because he suffered and bled and died for your sins. The holy law of God declares, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's why Christ died. He died for the sins of his people. He rose again to justify them, just as if I had not sinned. He's justified his people. He's made them holy. You might say, how can a poor black sinner? I remember just after we married, reading one evening in the Word of God, and it was in Colossians chapter 1. And the verse just arrested me. It seemed so amazing. He will present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. I was so amazed. I thought, how can this be? And I believe the Holy Spirit gave me some meditation. It's in and through the precious redeeming work of Christ. He makes his people holy, pure, undefiled as he was. He washes away all their sin, takes away all their guilt, clothes them with that glorious everlasting robe, covers all their nakedness with that everlasting robe of his righteousness. This, my beloved friends, is the gospel that we believe. This is the Jesus that we love. This Jesus that is touched with the sympathy within. Jesus wept. He wept. Wasn't the only time he wept. You just think of his sufferings. You know, I always think that's one of the most deep and profoundest words in Holy Scripture. He was tempted in all points like as we are. Now you think how you are tempted and tried, and the things that enter your mind. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Yet without sin. There's nothing that the child of God can come into. No cross, no loss, no perplexity, no darkness, no bondage, that they can, no trouble that they can come into that the Lord Jesus does not fully and completely comprehend. Our great high priest. What a great high priest he is. With an infinite understanding of all the needs and all the concerns and all the burdens of his people. Every single one of them. You think of him in the garden. In the garden of Gethsemane. And being in an agony, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Falling down to the ground. Why that agony? Why that sorrow? Why was he so pressed? Because our eternal Father there in Gethsemane laid upon him the iniquity of us all. all our sins were, and that's what caused the agony. That's why he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Because the weight of the sin of the whole church rested on him. The apostle, he puts it this way: he took our sins and he nailed them to his cross. You see, my beloved friends, this man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, this Lord Jesus knows the feelings of your grief. He sympathizes with you in it. He loves you in it. He's felt the same. He's been tempted in like manner. Jesus wept. May the Lord be pleased to add his blessing to these few remarks.
God willing, Sunday school will be on Zoom this afternoon. And on Tuesday, Mr. Timothy Pocock is engaged to preach at 7 o'clock. And there will be a prayer meeting next Friday evening at 7 o'clock. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Richard Field is expected to preach. And Oakenham hold their Harvest Thanksgiving service on Wednesday the 15th of September, when Mr. Matthew Hyde is expected to preach. Let us close with hymn 1033. In Jesus combine all the riches of grace. What glory and grandeur I see in his face. Jehovah's eternal and co-equal Son took all our transgressions and made them his own. Hymn 1033.
Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. Amen.